السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, Muslim brothers and sisters throughout the entire world have gathered in the noble sanctuary to discharge a great obligation that Allah has placed over them. The obligation is known as Hajj. As we know that right now, basically there is 1.6 or 1.7 billion Muslims in the world. So not every Muslim can make it to the house of Allah. So there's only about 3 or 4 million people that perform Hajj. So many people miss out, despite having the financial muscle to perform the Hajj. But Islam is such a beautiful religion that it does not allow any one person that is keen to attain reward to miss out. So inshallah, tomorrow or the day following, we will enter the month of Dhul Hijjah. So inshallah, tonight we will be going out to sight the new crescent of Dhul Hijjah. If it is sighted tonight, tomorrow will be the first of Dhul Hijjah. And if not, then Sunday will be the first of Dhul Hijjah. We will enter this blessed month that Allah has spoken about in His beautiful words. And Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about it as well. And basically these 10 nights or 10 days of Dhul Hijjah are out there for people like us that are not performing Hajj. They hold so much merit and so much reward that if we know how to play the game, we can extract maximum benefit from these 10 days and 10 nights. Now I recited the verses of Surah Buruj. Now Surah Buruj is the 85th surah of the glorious Quran. And it is one of the surahs that are placed in the last juz of the glorious Quran. And many a times we hear a imma throughout the entire world reciting Surah Buruj in Salatul Isha. And Allah Almighty says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. In these opening verses of Surah Buruj, Allah takes an oath. And I have made mention many a times in the past that it is the style of the Quran that whenever Allah takes an oath, there will be an object and a subject. For example, if I take an oath, I swear by the name of Allah, Uqsimu billah, main Allah ki qasam uthata hu, then that is the oath, but it has to be followed by a subject. So I can say, I swear by the name of Allah, I will not do this. So that is the subject of the object of oath. So in the glorious Quran, wherever Allah has taken an oath, first there will be the object and it will be followed by the subject. Now in the opening verses of Surah number 85, Surah Buruj, Allah makes mention of the Qasam. In Arabic it is called Qasam, Jawabi Qasam. So the Qasam is, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, I swear by the skies, by the heavens, the one having stellar formation. In easy English we can say, I swear by the heaven that holds big stars. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and Allah swears by the day that has been promised. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, Shahid, fa'il, mashhood, maf'ool. Wa shahidun wa mashhood. And Allah swears by the witnessing day, wa mashhood, and by the witness day. Now, of course, this is very ambiguous. No one knows what is yawmul maw'ud. We do not understand what is shahid and what is mashhood. So, tafsirul Quran bil hadith. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commented upon the precise definition of yawmul maw'ud and shahidin wa mashhood. Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah has recorded in his Jami'u Tirmizi on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-yawmul maw'ud yawmul qiyamah. The promised day is the day of judgment, the day of requital, the day of hisab kitab, the day of yawmuddin, maliki yawmuddin. وَالشَّاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ وَالْيَوْمُ الْمَشْهُودِ يَوْمُ عَرَفَةٍ. The day that is to be witnessed is يَوْمِ مَشْهُودٍ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. وَالشَّاهِد, the day that is the witness is يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. So this is the understanding of the ulama in regards to the tafsir of وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. Basically, what Allah Almighty is taking an oath of is the day of judgment, that is a arena and a theater where humanity will come in multitudes, in droves. Just imagine and depict that moment where humanity from the first till the last will gather, where all the jinnat will come together, where all the malaika that are invisible become visible. Allahu Akbar. It is such a day, yawmul maw'ud. Now a demonstration of that at a very small level in this world is yawmi arafah, where we find 3 million people come together. 3 million people come together. It is a very small demonstration, a very minute replica of Yawmul Maw'ud, where humanity comes together, 3 or 4 million people come together. And then a further minute demonstration of Yawmul Maw'ud and Yawmi Arafah is Yawmul Jumu'ah, that where there is 400 or 500 people in this respected masjid. Now basically what Allah is saying, that as we come together on the day of judgment and we see a demonstration of that once in a year in Yawmi Arafah and on a weekly basis in your local masjid, you will come together on the day of judgment. Keep that in mind. So whenever we are coming to the Friday prayer, one of the mindset of a human being is that as Allah has gathered us here today, Allah will gather us on the plains of resurrection. Yeah? This is the connection. So in this ayat, Allah has spoken about Yawmi Arafah. That in itself elevates the status of this beautiful day. Yeah? It makes this day distinct throughout the entire lunar calendar. Then in Surah 89, a few surahs ahead, Allah Almighty speaks about this day again. Wal-Fajr, Walayalin Ashr, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَطْرِ. By the dawn, وَالْفَجْرِ. As we know that the morning, the crack of dawn, brings a complete change in the entire world. The darkness is replaced by the light that emits from the sun. It is a great revolution, a change that humanity experiences every day. وَالْفَجْرِ, by the dawn. وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ, and by the 10 nights. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَطْرِ, and by the even and by the odd. Now this is ambiguous once again. There is not any commentary to this. Allah has not explained in this ayah what is the precise definition of even and odd. The scholars have thoroughly investigated through different narratives, and they have come to this understanding that one dimension or one understanding of washafi'i wal watar by the even and by the odd is that the odd is yawmu arafah, it is the day of Arafah, because it falls on the 9th, and 9th is an odd number. And shaf, the even number, is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, where humanity comes together and they sacrifice the animal that represents their inner feelings for the injunctions of Allah Almighty. Now, these set of verses in which Allah takes an oath, and let me come back to Surah 89. Allah takes an oath of the dawn, and then he takes an oath of the 10 days, and then he takes an oath of Yawm Arafah and Yawm Al-Adha, the day of sacrifice. But what is the subject of oath? Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad. In this same surah, verse number 14, Allah says, Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad. Surely your Lord is watching at all times. That Allah Almighty is watching. So the night has been replaced by the day. What does that mean? That whatever was done in the darkness of the night cannot be concealed, because the day is to arrive. The day will replace the darkness of the night. Meaning that Allah is all watching. It doesn't matter that if you are in the day or in the night, alone or with people, Allah has the ability to see, because He is the one that creates this phenomenon where the day replaces the night and the night replaces the day. Inna Rabbaka Labil Mirsad. Now these ayat give us a very good understanding of the importance of these 10 days. Now basically, the month of Dhul Hijjah is a very special month. Now, nowadays the solar calendar consists of 12 months and the lunar calendar consists of 12 months. And this arrangement was arranged by Allah Almighty from inception. In Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 36, Allah Almighty says, Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal arda minha arba'atun hurum dhalika ad-deenul qayyim. Inna iddata shuhur, verily the number of months, 12 is 12. From when? From the advent of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? From Hijrah? No. Inna iddat ash-shuhuri 'inda Allah 12 shahran fi kitabillah. It has been inscribed in the preserved tablets, yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal ard, when Allah created the heavens and the earth, there were 12 months. Minha arba'atun hurum, and amongst these 12 months there are 4 that are dignified, that are honorable when compared to others. The 11th month, the 12th month, the 1st month, and the 7th month. The 11th, the 12th, the 1st, the 7th. Now 3 months are together. Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram. They were dignified and honored. And I will make mention of what does that mean. And then there's one isolated month known as the month of Rajab. Now before Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, and as Allah Almighty has said, from inception, from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till today, there is some distinction that has been attached to these 4 months. We are passing through one, Dhul-Qa'dah, and in a few days we will enter the second one, Dhul-Hijjah, and then after a few days, let's say one complete month, we will enter the third one known as Muharram. Now the ulama say that there were two distinctions pertaining to these months, these 4 months amongst the 12 months. It was a known fact that a'mal committed in these months will gather you more reward. So if you commit to an amal in these months, you will get more reward. That law, that injunction, that distinction has not been abrogated. That continues till today. That is the understanding of the ulama, that if a person commits to a good deed in these months, he will get more reward compared to other months, excluding the month of Ramadan. Does it make sense? There was another distinction to this month, and that was that you were not allowed to engage in combat in these 4 months. The months of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. That injunction has been abrogated. But it lasted for many, many centuries, from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this entire month and the following month and the month to follow are all honorable. Minha arba'atun hurm. They are dignified, they are honorable. And then in addition to that, the first 10 days that we are going to enter tomorrow or the day following have greater distinctions. Have greater distinctions. So many different fadail attached to it. I will make mention of a few because we do not have much time. Imam Tirmizi has recorded. Ibn Majah has recorded. Imam Abi Bakr Ahmad bin Hussein al-Bahki in Fi Shu'bul Iman has recorded as well, on the authority of Sa'id ibn Musayyib, who records from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now Sa'id ibn Musayyib was the Imam of Masjid al-Nabwi for 20 years. 20 years, never missed Takbir Tahrima. Or Sa'id ibn Musayyib ke susar kohon hai? Abu Huraira. Who's the father-in-law of Sayyid ibn Musayyib? Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala. So Sayyid ibn Musayyib, he said, I heard from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala, he heard from Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he hear? Ma min ayyamin ahab ilallah. An yuta'abbad lahu fiha min ashri dhil hijjah. That there are no days in the entire year that can gather you more reward than the a'mal committed in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. I made mention last year, you would remember, that the 10 nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan are the greatest nights in the entire year. But the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the greatest in the entire year. So the day goes to Dhul-Hijjah and the night goes to Ramadan. The nights of Ramadan are the greatest, the last 10 nights, in which there is Laylatul Qadr, that is the host of the glorious Quran. But if we were to evaluate the merit of days, the greatest days or set of days is the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They are even more meritorious than the days of Ramadan. مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُتَعَبَّدْ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ صِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِنْهَا بِصِيَامِ السَّنَةِ وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. الله أكبر. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. If a person fasts one day, he will be rewarded 1 year of fasting. So we can only fast 9 days. We can't fast on the 10th because we are the guest of Allah Almighty. Nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. There are 5 days in which you cannot fast in the lunar calendar. The 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 11th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, 4 days. A set of them. And then the day of Eidul Fitr, 1 day. 5 days in which you cannot fast. Khao piyo, eat and drink. You are the guest of Allah. Eat as much as you want. No hisab kitab. You know, I have said this before, there are two kinds of people in the world. Some people believe in dieting and some people believe in dieting. So in these 5 days, become the latter one, dieting. Kao, hum kao. Then after these 5 days of hospitality come to an end, then resort to dieting. Inna li jasadika alayka haq. Your body has a right upon you. Now, I don't want to get into that. All right, anyway. So, each day, 9 days, we can get the reward of 9 years of fasting. 9 years of fasting. وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. And each night, if we make ibadat, and that's 10 nights, 10 nights, if we make ibadat in the night, each night will get you the reward of Laylatul Qadr. This hadith is where? In Tirmizi. Further, in Ibn Majah. Further, Imam Bahki, Shu'b al-Iman. So, my practical approach to these 10 days and my recommendation to my noble family is treat these 10 days and 10 nights as the last 10 days and 10 nights of Ramadan. Don't take it lightly. We have the knowledge, but what is the practical approach to these 10 days and 10 nights? We should treat them as the last 10 days of Ramadan. We make extra effort, extra juhud in the last 10 days and 10 nights of Ramadan compared to the first 20 days of Ramadan. Because we know that this month is passing by. Yeah? And this is the last orchards, and I call each day an orchard from which I can pluck fruit. So these are the 10 days and 10 nights where we have to bring a revelation in our life. Wal Fajr, by the dawn, it brings a change in the world. We have to bring a change in our life to benefit from these 10 days and 10 nights. Now, practically, most of us work, so it will be somewhat exerting on the body to fast each day. But what we can do is we can make a mu'ahida with ourselves that Saturday and Sunday I will fast. Saturday, Sunday I will fast. Because I'm not working. And if I can't pray tahajjud because I am lacking sleep, because I have to go to work, then Friday, Saturday and Sunday I can pray tahajjud. And after Isha, with the intention of 2 units of tahajjud, pray your tahajjud. With the intention that you're praying your tahajjud, you can't wake up in the morning, inshallah you will get some benefit from these nights. And further relaxation that is much easier, pray your Isha and pray your Fajr of these 10 days and 10 nights in the masjid. You can do that. Make a mu'ahida right now that Isha and Fajr I'm going to pray in the masjid, just like we do in Ramadan. The crowd, the congregation increases in number. You see Fajr, 8 lines. Straight after Ramadan, back to 1 line. We are treating this as the month of Ramadan. So tomorrow, if announced tonight, we see a lot of people for Fajr. You can do that for 10 days and 10 nights. And you will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. The reward of Laylatul Qadr. Now, in regards to the fasting on the 9th. Now the fasting on the 9th is highly, highly recommended for the non-pilgrims. Those that are not performing Hajj. For the people that are performing Hajj, it is recommended not to fast on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The very famous incident in the time of Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he only performed one Hajj after Hajj became compulsory. Hajj became compulsory in the 8th year of Hijrah. And in the 8th year of Hijrah, Attab bin Usaid, he led the Muslims in the Hajj. In the 9th year of Hijrah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq led the Muslims. And in the 10th year of Hijrah, the first and the last Hajj of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led the Hajj. The Hajj and the Umrah. Now, in this Hajj, forget it now. In this Hajj, the Sahaba did not know that if the Nabi of Allah was fasting or not on the day of Arafah. Because the hadith in Muslim, recorded by Abu Qatada Ansari, radiallahu ta'ala an, su'ila an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an sawmi yawmi Arafah. Qal, yukaffiru sanat al-madiyah wal-baqiyah. Wa fi riwayatin ukhra, fi sunad al-kubra, in sunan al-kubra and sunan al-bahki, sawmu ashura, yukaffiru sanat al-madiyah. وصوم عرفة يكفر السنتين سنة الماضية والمستقبلة. So there's a comparison between Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, and the day of Arafah. 10th of Muharram, it expiates. It's an expiation of sins of 1 year. And Yawm Arafah is an expiation of 2 years of sin, 1 year past, 1 year future, and these are sagair, minor sins. So there were so many different fadail pertaining to the fasting of Arafah. So the Sahaba did not know if Nabi Akram was fasting. So Umm Salima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the wife of Nabi Akram, she said, I will investigate, I will find out. Now there's a way of investigating. One is to go and say, are you fasting? But this was against the honor of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umm Salima, the student and the wife, she presented milk. She presented milk. Now the hadith pertaining to milk and fragrance, that if you give fragrance to somebody or milk to somebody, you should take it, you should not decline. Even if you dislike it, take a sip. Even if you dislike the strong smell of that cheap fragrance that a lot of time people give, that $2 fragrance that gives you a headache. Oh, little bit. Don't decline. Don't decline. So Umm Salima gave that milk to Nabi Akram, and Nabi Akram took the milk and drank it. Came to know that he's not fasting on the day of Arafah. So from here the ulama, the muhaddithun, the theologians have understood that for the hujjaj, you should not fast on Yawm Arafah. It is better not to fast, so you can preserve and sustain your energy for the rituals of that day. But for people like us, it is highly recommended to fast on Arafah. So my noble audience, as we said before, that there's shortage of time, try to approach these 10 days, 10 nights, as you approach the last 10 days and 10 nights of Ramadan. That's the message of today. And inshallah, you will gain maximum reward. Allah Rabbul Izzat, allow us to gain benefit from these beautiful days and nights. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.